It is time for my favorite, Arthur Schwartz, the food mensch, the food guy. I'm still sticking with mensch.
I like mensch.
Okay, yeah, we're going to do that. The food mensch is fine.
Remember, I don't have the website anymore, which was
right,
called
so we don't
the
have
mensch.
To. But also, we are kind of teaching, just as people needed to know what a maven was, they also now need or should enjoy the knowledge of what a mensch is. So,
right. Well,
Mr.
I
mensch,
mean, if they don't know maven, they don't know mensch probably, but
probably.
I don't know. If you're in New York, you know these things.
It's like when you're a kid, you bring your project to your parents.
My Mexican housekeeper knows more about being Jewish than most Jews. So, she knows some Yiddish as well.
Very good. No, seriously.
Except we have this is not racist by any means.
No,
but we use a product.
There's something called being worldly.
That Irene refers to as the Jewish spray, and it's because I never researched this or anything. I don't even know what it's called, and Bob orders it online, but Irene learned about it from working for so many Jewish people, kosher people, and apparently it's a kosher cleaning product. I don't know. We just call it, it works, got to say.
Okay.
If anybody's interested in knowing what it really is, I have to ask. I have to go to the closet that's on the other side of the apartment, so I'm not doing it right now. Anyway, January. I've been a writer, broadcaster, editor long enough, over 50 years, to know that everybody in January thinks about improving their health, whether that's weight loss or something else, and being frugal. Because you spent a lot of money at the end of the year, and you figure in January you should pull back a little bit. I now see, because it's a big deal already, that people who drink have dry Januaries, too. That's another...
They've been doing dry January for a number of years. And
right,
now,
for a number of years. But now it seems to be a big deal. Probably more people drinking.
So, or the CDC. No, New York Times and the CDC, so that's going to be interesting.
What does that mean?
It means that alcohol causes like the 8 different types of cancer that people.
Yeah. But it also, everything in moderation.
Exactly.
I'm leave it at that.
Everything in moderation.
Except, I have one thing we can accept: broccoli.
Well, I love broccoli.
I am on a total broccoli jag.
Yeah,
and
that's unusual for me
because usually by January I'm sick of broccoli.
Okay,
but this year I'm not.
Yeah, that's interesting. If you're
I don't know. You know, broccoli is a relatively new vegetable for the U.S. Andy Boy, remember that brand? It was branded broccoli,
Vaguely.
And also Broccoli Rob still.
Yes, broccoli. Yeah.
True. They the Italian guys. Who settled in California to farm in this rich land with the perfect weather, they introduced broccoli to the U.S. And I think it was only, introducing it was only in the, maybe the 1920s. I don't think broccoli got its due until George Bush I decided he hated broccoli and kept mentioning it. It wasn't like he said once, "Oh, I don't want to eat broccoli." I looked this up, and it's in the teens of times during his 4 years as a president that he said he hated broccoli and he won't eat it. Then nobody really cared about broccoli until then. Then it became a partisan thing. Anyway, broccoli is super duper healthy, and as are other members of the cruciferous vegetable family, which includes cabbages, broccoli rob. Actually, broccoli rob is incorrectly grouped with those other vegetables. It's not actually a kind of broccoli. It's actually a kind of turnip, and it's the leaves of this particular turnip, which I don't think you eat for the bulb. I keep meaning to ask some Italian friends about this because broccoli di rape, that means the broccoli of rape, which is turnip, is maybe the most common vegetable in the south of Italy and is often attributed to the longevity. The longevity is often attributed to the large amount of cruciferous vegetables that they eat in the south of Italy. I have a friend who is now in her mid-80s, but she looks like she's in her 50s, who eats and lives in the south of Italy, who eats broccoli rabe or some form of cruciferous vegetable every single day. So I decided that I haven't made a New Year's resolution in a long, long time, that was going to be my New Year's resolution, to have a cruciferous vegetable every day. And often it ends up being broccoli, because we like broccoli. And I must say, the broccoli has been tasting awfully good lately. Have you bought broccoli lately? This used to be like high season broccoli in the middle of the winter.
But just to weigh in here, I mean, I broccoli rabe, which I think is hilarious that it's a turnip because I hate turnips, but I love broccoli. I mean, I could eat broccoli rabe every day of every.
Well, it's very healthy, and you can do a lot with it if you want to do anything with it.
Huh?
I said you can do a lot with broccoli rabe if you want to do anything.
I personally am into eating
plain vegetables. For instance, my broccoli, I steam instead of boil, which, by the way, is ever so slightly better retention of vitamins if you steam rather than boil. But that's not why I do it, because there's still plenty of nutrition left even when you boil. It's because it's fast. I don't have to bring a pot of water to the boil.
Right.
I just bring an inch of water to the boil, and my broccoli is in the, what I do is I do the inch of water, I put in my steamer, one of those, I don't know what you call them even. They open up kind of steamer into the size of the pot. Put in the washed broccoli cut into florets, as they call the individual little flowers. And turn on the heat on high. And literally, and I must say in several different pots I've done this, in 10 minutes you are, the broccoli is cooked well enough or... maybe another minute, but I don't do that. I do 10 minutes, and then if it's not quite enough, and the way I know that is I put the point of a knife in a heavy stem. If it goes right through, it's done. But if it's a little resistant, I just keep the pot covered for another 5 minutes or so, and then uncover the pot. And the residual steam and heat in the pot will continue to cook the broccoli. And we like our broccoli well cooked, well done. Not crunchy. But if you like it crunchy, you're going to do a little less than 10 minutes. You see how fast this is? In fact, when we order from the Chinese restaurant, we always have to qualify, well-done broccoli, please, tender broccoli. We like well-done broccoli so much that when I mix broccoli and pasta, I actually make it break down entirely. So after it's steamed and tender, I first then put it in a skillet with olive oil and garlic, and if I can get away with it that day, some hot pepper, and let that cook together for a few minutes. The garlic can be sliced, it can be minced, it can be whole and squashed. I wouldn't put pressed or, you know, paste the garlic into the pan, but certainly sliced is good. I like sliced. Anyway, put that in the pan, let it cook a minute or two, then put in your broccoli and turn the broccoli in the oil, and the seasoned oil at this point, and cook it for quite a while. I mean, I take my wooden spatula and break up the pieces as it's cooking. Sometimes I add a little bit more oil. This is good extra virgin olive oil, and salt and pepper, if it needs pepper. If I'm using a hot pepper, it probably doesn't need pepper, but it's good with black pepper too. And, I don't know, two nice big heads of broccoli will be enough to mix with at least 12 ounces of pasta, if not a pound. But I always do, I must say, in terms of 12 ounces of pasta, serves four people. You know, American, it's interesting. I was thinking about this yesterday because we're going out to eat with some friends from out of town who are dying to go to an Italian-American restaurant in Brooklyn. So I have a couple of choices in mind, but it depends on what neighborhood we end up in. But the thing is, you have to split pastas in America because the portions are so enormous. They're even in a normal size portion is enough for two people. So anyway, 12 ounces of pasta, two big heads of broccoli, as much garlic as you like. I don't know, two or three cloves for me with that amount of broccoli. You're probably going to use a minimum of a quarter of a cup of oil, and you just keep, if it's not really tender enough to break down altogether, cover the skillet and over low heat and let it cook for a little while longer. And then when the cook whatever pasta you're going to serve it with, I always like a tubular pasta, but if you let the broccoli break down long enough and it's, you know, really a sauce more than a vegetable, you can mix it with spaghetti. And you can always add a little bit of pasta cooking water, very much in vogue these days, I have to say. I've been cooking Italian my entire life. I cook with Italians my entire life. And it's only in the last 15, 20 years that everybody's adding pasta cooking water. But it's handy. You know, it's starchy water. In fact, here's a little trick. If you want particularly starchy water to add to a pasta at the end, use less water than you would as is normal. And as is normal for me is 1 quart of water per 4 ounces of pasta. So if you're making 12 ounces of pasta, minimum 3 quarts of water to the boil. But if you want a starchy water, you can do it with two. But be careful. Stir it. You don't want the pasta to stick to anything itself or the pan. Anyway, so that's one broccoli thing. Broccoli with pasta. Now, I'm doing not the meat versions. Classic is broccoli or broccoli rabe, really, with sausage and with sautéed sausage and orecchiette, which are the little rounds.
The little ear ones.
Yeah, it means little ears. And orecchiette, that's classic from Puglia. But in Italian-American restaurants, they almost always have that dish or something close to it. I would never add cream to that, but I have lately seen people making that with cream as well. But, you know, in America, if you add cream or sugar, it sells. You know what I'm saying? I read nauseatingly sweet recipes online and can't believe people are actually cooking this way.
How about I say no comment.
So, we like plain broccoli, got to say. So I steam the broccoli, and in fact, as soon as early in the morning, usually, because I have the most energy in the morning. And then I let it cool, and we dress it with our best oil and lemon juice. And, you know, I have a neighbor who eats with us sometimes. And the first time I served this to her, she didn't know. She said, oh, what did you put on here? I said, nothing. Salt, oil, lemon juice. And I don't like it to sit for too long because it does break down, you know, the lemon, the acid, does break down the broccoli a bit. So I usually do that at the last minute. Another thing that I do, oh, by the way, I should talk about prepping broccoli. Now, I don't know about
before you. Before you do, I just have a quick question, and that is, have you ever tried keeping the water that you steam it in and then throwing some lemon juice and salt in that?
If I was sick, I would eat that probably.
And drinking it? Yeah, I know. But
it hasn't occurred to me.
Oh, okay.
I do use broccoli cooking water to mix with pasta or cook pasta in.
I'm just saying it's probably a really good good juice in the morning.
I don't think that's
anyway. So,
doesn't sound too appealing to me. So this, I have to say, I discovered this way of cooking broccoli and cauliflower on a trip to Sicily. I was in Trapani, which is the home of fish couscous. Trapani has a very large Tunisian fishermen population. Hence, they have kept up the tradition of couscous made with fish. In any case, after several days of eating couscous with fish in good and bad places, I had to, and nobody, I must say, in Sicily, this is not just in Trapani, but all over in the summer. I mean, all you really get is zucchini and eggplant. So after days of just zucchini and eggplant, I had to eat some vegetables, and I found a place called Pino, P-I-N-O, its name, that actually had a vegetable antipasto table, meaning I could get up and serve myself as many vegetables as I wanted. Now, I got to say, there were several preparations of eggplant, several preparations of zucchini, but there were also several preparations of mushrooms, because I guess it was the end of the summer and mushrooms were starting to come into season in the woods. And then this cauliflower, and I still do this, but with broccoli as well, steam your broccoli or cauliflower until it's tender. You can let it cool. You can even make it the day ahead. And then you beat together, this is for a head of cauliflower, let's say, or that much broccoli steamed and broken into florets, three eggs with about a third of a cup to a half a cup of grated Parmigiano, a big, big pinch of salt, a nice amount of black pepper. I happen to like a lot of black pepper, but you could just put in a few grindings if you like. Beat that all together. Heat a nonstick skillet. Should be nonstick, otherwise you got problems. With some olive oil. And when the oil gets hot, put in your pieces of cauliflower or broccoli, dripping with this egg beat mixture. And cook the broccoli, and that's enough, by the way, for the whole head. And you probably have a little extra. So after the broccoli or cauliflower is in the skillet, you need a big skillet for this, drizzle over the rest of the egg and cheese mixture. And then cook this, the vegetable, until it's got lightly browned on all sides. And boy, is that good. So I could eat that as a main course if I was a vegetarian. Not vegan, but a vegetarian.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
Yeah, yeah. So that, you know, that's another broccoli thing. Now, there are other cruciferous vegetables that you can alternate with. You don't have to eat broccoli every day. You could have Brussels sprouts, same family. Cabbage, same family. Kohlrabi, that's one you don't think of, do you?
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
You cook kohlrabi?
I think about kohlrabi, and I think about... Why can't I think of it right now? Keep going. But yeah, and that's another one that's fun to eat.
Well, anyway.
Anyway.
So if I'm going to eat one every day, I will have to eat the whole array. Just this morning, my nephew was telling me that he's roasting cauliflower and broccoli. And I did try the roasted cauliflower last winter, and I was disappointed with it. I mean, I still think cauliflower and broccoli are, which, by the way, are incredibly high in fiber, as well as every good thing, vitamin C, folates, and almost no calories to speak of. You can alternate, and one of the I'm going to try roasting broccoli again because my nephew has good taste and he says it comes out really good. You break it into flowerets and toss it with salt and pepper and olive oil. That's it. Put it in a 425 degree oven for probably 20 minutes to a half an hour until it starts getting a little browned at the edges. But really, I find last time I did it, I found it a little too tough. I still like my water cooked broccoli. But I have made recently, speaking of cooking, liquid, made broccoli soup, which doesn't require any effort whatsoever.
That's true. Just, oh, by the way, it's bok choy.
Oh, bok choy, yes. And also, let's not forget about Napa cabbage, which I keep meaning to play with. I just read a nice recipe for Napa cabbage and it inspired me. But, yeah. Oh, and how do you dress, besides, by the way, lemon and oil for dressing broccoli, I didn't want to miss mentioning tahini dressing, which I find goes particularly well with broccoli and even cauliflower, both cauliflower. And I just mixed together some tahini right out of the can or jar, whatever you buy it in. Let's say for, you know, make a nice amount of dressing, a half a cup of tahini, at least 3 tablespoons of lemon juice, probably a quarter of a cup of water, salt, pepper, and garlic. Now, it depends on your taste for garlic. It could be just one small clove grated in, or it could be 3 large cloves grated in if you like a lot of garlic. So, and mix it all together. You might want to dilute it a little bit more. You'll see the consistency. You want it to, as pourable as heavy cream anyway. And it's delicious on cooked vegetables. And it adds a little protein to the picture, a little more protein. Because sesame is very high in protein.
Do you ever use ume plum vinegar?
Plum vinegar?
Yeah, it's not sweet.
It's not savory. Part of my pantry.
Ume plum, you can get it from Eden or any. It's a Japanese.
And is it? What's the acidity? Do you know?
I don't know the answer. I just know that.
How acid does it taste?
It's salt. All I mean is it's salty.
It's salty.
So if you do that. And a little bit of oil on any one of these things is easy.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, one of the things, by the way, adding to that sesame dressing, I sometimes put in a few drops of sesame oil because
right.
That gives that a little bit more sesame oomph. And I always have sesame oil on the counter. But maybe I should try the vinegar. I like trying new vinegars. There are a lot of new vinegars out there that I... My basic ones, of course, are red wine, white wine, and cider vinegar.
Right.
And when one part of my New Year's health resolution that I never make is to have a glass of apple cider vinegar and water every evening. I was doing this off and on for the last month or so, but I have to make it more of a ritual because it's proven that your digestion is much better after you've had something acid. So, hence, the cultures where they have salad at the beginning of a meal, or, as they do in the south of Italy very often, have pickled vegetables, or I should say vegetables that are preserved under vinegar vegetables, as part of their first course, or antipasto. So, that's a thing in cultures. They don't do it because they know about the nutrition or the science of it. It's instinctual. And I don't know we don't have any equivalent in the U.S. that I know of. Do you? I don't know.
Well,
anyway.
I can't remember who
it was. I'm off to cook my broccoli. Pardon me?
It doesn't matter. Keep going.
No, I just said I'm off to cook my broccoli.
Oh, all right. Well, then, I'm just going to say, way, way back when, and I don't know. Who it was, I mean, it was in the late 1700s, 1800s. You know, vinegar was very much a part of a diet, normalizing, a little vinegar sprinkled or a little vinegar in water was a good, I don't know the right word, clearer upper. So.
All right.
That's all I was going to say, for what it's worth. Over time, different uses for different things.
I have to consult with a couple of food historian friends to ask them about if we have any cultural habits in the U.S. that fit into that.
Yeah, the recipes and whatnot.
Eat acid at the beginning of a meal.
But you would like the ume vinegar, U-M-E.
I will go out and buy some. I need to go to a Chinese grocery anyway.
Or whatever.
No, I'm going because I can't find anywhere outside of a Chinese grocery a Chinese sesame paste, which is roasted sesame paste, as opposed to tahini, which is not roasted. And the reason I want to find it is I make these sesame cookies, which I think will be even better if I use Chinese sesame paste. Have a great week, everyone. Enjoy your resolution.
And you and Bob, and thank you. As always, this has been Arthur Schwartz, newly christened, officially, The Food Mensch on Robin Hood Radio.